From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 15th day of August, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kirk Kimmel. He's at agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. And a bit later in the program, Ben Brown will join us from University of Missouri Extension. He's an agricultural economist there on campus. And we'll have a broader look at last week's USDA reports and what that might mean for fall lows as it relates to both corn and soybeans. And then as we wrap up our time together, we'll take a look at the weather forecast too with Mark Russo from Everstream Analytics on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Just a quick reminder that tomorrow is Ag Day at the Illinois State Fairgrounds in Springfield. I'll be there all day long. That'll kick off with the Ag Breakfast in the morning, and during the day I'll have conversations with a whole lot of folks that are on the grounds to talk about what's happening in the state of Illinois. And then we'll wrap up with the sale of champions, the governor's sale of champions. That'll happen around 6 o'clock on Tuesday evening. I'll post relatively quickly, within a few seconds usually, the sales numbers from the auction. So you'll want to watch that between, I don't know, 6 and 7:30 or thereabouts. The sale of champions tomorrow evening, Ag Day at the Illinois State Fair all day tomorrow. And I'll have the closing market report from there tomorrow as well. Now let's, speaking of the closes, check in on what the settlement prices were in Chicago for corn. It was down 13 cents, settled at 626 and three quarters in the September, December at 628 and a quarter, 14 lower in the March at 635 and three quarters, down 13 and a quarter. At the November beans at 1412 and a quarter were down 42, the nearby SEP, by the way, 41 lower at $14.94. And new crop January at $14.19, down 41 and a quarter cents. The bean meal, 12 and a half. $12.50 lower for the day at $4.52.20, and the bean oil down 59 cents at $68.94. Wheat futures were down 5 1/4 cents at $8.75 in the September, and the hard red at $8.82 3/4, down 6 1/2 for the afternoon. Live cattle futures in Chicago, a settlement price there at $143.80, down 70. The feeders at $185.60, 40 lower, and the lean hogs at $100.57 1/2, up 55. The crude oil down $3 today or thereabouts, around $89 a barrel. The diesel fuel at $3.44 1/10, that's down 7 1/2 cents. And the wholesale price of gasoline at $2.94 4/10, down a dime and a tenth of a penny for the afternoon. We're now joined by Kurt Kimmel. He's with agmarket.net out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt. Thanks for being with us. What happened in Chicago today?
Well, good afternoon, Todd. Glad to be here, but hopefully we're not setting a trend on down Mondays here for a change. Man, it was just kind of a brutal from the overnight go. There's some optimism going home Friday there. We survived the crop reports, and beans rallied fairly good off the low there they had there last week, and things kind of felt stable. But as we come into early trade Sunday evening, the weather map showed some moisture, fairly good chance of some moisture there for that Iowa, Missouri, and eastern Nebraska, that dry pocket, and that kind of put the weather bulls on hold in through here. But then as the night wore on, we kind of factored in some Chinese news that their economic picture's just not robust as what one wanted. And in fact, they're looking at lower interest rates to stimulate their economy versus the rest of the world showing some higher interest rates and trying to slow down in inflation and so forth. But ideas that COVID slowed things down, and that their housing sector is really, really struggling. So with them being the largest purchaser, they put the market on the defensive there. So we'll see how that news unfolds in through here. They're still going to need to feed their people. And I think agricultural products a little lower from here would attract them to at least be buyers of ag products. But that's the thing. You look at the export sales, daily sales, and soybeans. If you go back the last year, two, three, this time of year, we started seeing, 1 million metric ton sales occur. We've not seen that. A lot of these Chinese bean sales have been on the light side, 132,000, 103,000 tons, 190,000 tons. And they seem to be buying under the radar here and just not having the spotlight and the newsworthy item of big sales. And that kind of questions the supply-demand balance sheet as we go into next week. So that was kind of the negative factor. Also, too, this time of year, even though the cash bids are still firm in some areas, we also see it, we oftentimes see a little seasonal down as we go into August versus September there, Todd.
Which is the more important of the two factors that you mentioned, the demand, the Chinese side, or the weather, which has shown a bit more rainfall, though it's still kind of spotty out west?
Boy, that's a great question. I think you got to take both of them kind of seriously. From the standpoint, you move that yield up and down a little bit, that moves the bottom line quite a bit. But the other side of the equation is the demand. And if Asia, a large buyer, if they are slowing through here, that could add to the bottom line from what we saw there last week. As of Friday there, we're looking at about a 245 million bushel bean carry out here on this new crop. Exports, 2.15. The export inspections report puts us in line to achieve that here if we can finish off here these last few weeks here of the marketing year on these exports. But on the flip side, too, crush 170.2 million bushels. They were looking for about 171. The crush rate continues to remain relatively strong there. So it's a balancing act between supply and demand, and that's going to be a factor here from the next 30 days until we get through the September crop report and kind of finish off the crop here as we go into this fall.
What's expected this afternoon, speaking of reports from the USDA's weekly crop progress numbers?
1-2% drop as a nation across the board. And more importantly, we'll kind of monitor the states, individual states, and see how that unfolds. Ideas are that if we can receive some rains here in those drier regions here this week, then maybe next week's report might show a little different. But one thing you got to remember, this time of year, the plants start to shut down, and traditionally the good to excellent category starts to go down, period. So when you look at last week's corn yield and this good to excellent category starts deteriorating a little bit more, we could probably lose another bushel or two, 175. Some analysts are clear down to 170, 168. That might be extreme, but the crops are kind of shrinking in through here in the western part of the Corn Belt.
And speaking of the western Corn Belt, the southwestern part of the Corn Belt in particular, down into Texas, Oklahoma, in the Midwest, the growing regions, that is, of the United States, a number of cattle have come out of the marketplace. There's been a lot of concern that not only are the steers coming off pasture, but heifers are not being kept back. How much of a problem does that create for demand in the future and for the price of beef going forward?
Well, you push replay and rewind. I've been promoting putting ribeyes in the refrigerator or freezer there. It's been pork loins, but it's got to be ribeyes because I think there's a huge, huge up move here. Talking to these cattle guys, they're looking at all-time highs. If you want to be bullish, I think this cattle market's one in through here to giddy up and go. We're seeing massive realignment. Slaughter pace remains about 1-2% above a year ago. It's bad deal. We're losing a lot of cows, and when you look long term here, that's very positive. So this meat market's ready to go. The other thing too, not to change subject, is the cotton market. A lot of cotton's raised in those areas. A lot of it's irrigated. But it's been too dry in Texas and too wet in the Delta and through there. And that's why the cotton's been up limit here for the last 2 days. It's a bullish situation for cotton, cattle, CC. I need to find one more C to be bullish there, Todd.
Well, we'll come up with something, I suppose. Lance Honig, after the USDA crop production, there's your other C report, on Friday during his update, made a larger than expected presentation as it's related to cotton and the number of acres and how much cotton was produced and how dry it was and how short that crop was for this growing season. So I suppose kind of the same crop production, but cotton and cattle at this point. I suppose maybe you could think about corn, depending on how much we need to use and how much wheat is around by the end of the year, too, right?
I want to say corn, but I don't want to jinx it, so I'll be quiet here for a while on corn. But yeah.
All right. Hey, thanks much. I appreciate it.
Take care.
Kurt Kimmel is with AgMarket.net out of Windsor, Illinois, joined us on this Wednesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Ben Brown now joins us from University of Missouri. He's an agricultural economist for Extension there. Hey, Ben, thanks for being with us. I hear you have just a whole slew of ag economists on campus this week. What's happening?
Yeah, so the Midwest ag economist, well, really every region across the state, or across the country, I shouldn't just say the Midwest, but every region does this once a year. The Midwest or North Central region, which stretches from basically Kansas to Ohio, Minnesota, North Dakota, down to Oklahoma, Arkansas, we get together in August every year after the August WASDE report, and we rotate around the country, and it just happens to be University of Missouri's time to host. So we've got people from all over the Corn Belt coming in to share thoughts and ideas and talk about programming and for the upcoming year and just kind of our thoughts on crop markets as well. And so it's always a good time. It's one of my favorite meetings of the year, but it adds a little bit more pressure when we're hosting. So, but all good.
Well, hopefully you'll have a great week, and I'll bet I'll hear about it in future conversations with agricultural economists from across the Midwest on Mondays. Let's talk about last week's USDA report that happened on Friday. What were your expectations and what were your impressions?
Yeah, actually, I have no dispute with anything USDA did, whether that was NASA's estimate of acreage and yield, or whether that was WASDE's revisions on the demand side. I truthfully have no disputes with any of that. When I look at those yield numbers, and I'll start there. The yield numbers, they brought that corn estimate down to 175.4, so that was a bushel and a half lower than where the projected forecast that's calculated based on a number of things, where that was. And I really have no dispute there. Do I think that could fall a little bit further? Sure, I do. I think, if you look at some of the dryness that was, and heat, dryness and heat over the last 2 weeks, some of that late planted corn, I think is probably suffering a little bit. Reverse of that is we're probably seeing higher silage in certain parts of the region that would normally have lower yields anyway. So that kind of helps support that national yield. On the bean side, to your comment about this was a big bean crop. I like that estimate a lot, actually. Here in Missouri, and I know there were several other places around the country that it was wet back in the spring and couldn't get things planted. That created quite a few late planted beans, if you will. These showers that are coming through the last couple weeks and forecasted, looking ahead, I think really support that late bean crop really maturing nicely. And again, it's one of those things where when we look at U.S. or the production revisions due to acreage, so they dropped, some 100,000 acres here and there in Minnesota, South Dakota, North Dakota, when they resurveyed those growers up there, those tend to be a little bit lower yielding areas as well. So that helps prop that national average up. So when I look at corn and soybean yields and the corn and soybean production numbers, I was actually very, very supportive of the revisions that were made and the estimates that came out. So.
Are you okay with the demand side of those ledgers as well?
I am. So probably the thing that I'm going to be watching as I go ahead or go forward as we look ahead is global feed grains. And the reason I'm bringing this up is we saw an 8 million metric ton revision out of the European Union on corn production, largely due to the heat and drought that's facing France. And so that's tightening the picture. And the estimates there are that they're going to feed more wheat as a result of less corn. But you look at some of the challenges in wheat markets, especially producing regions in Australia. We did see some stress on those crops as well and will going forward. So I think all that's tightening that feed grains crop up a little bit. The USDA is starting to recognize that Russia has a better crop than initially thought on the wheat side. But certainly when I think about, okay, if we're not going to feed corn, we're going to feed wheat, and we've got a shortage of wheat as well. It really starts to make that feed grain complex really tight. And so my comment to you, or to answer your question about what do I think about the demand side, right now they're trying to say normally when we don't feed as much corn, we feed more wheat. Well, I think we could actually see that come back to corn as a result of higher wheat prices and just availability of feed wheat around the globe. So
that's an interesting context. What does it tell you, if anything, about when lows might come, whether that's before or during harvest?
So I do think we will see the marketing lows here during the harvest window over the next couple of months. I think that's, you know, that's where I'm currently at, and I feel decently, you know, confident. Of course, the old phrase is when somebody's confident, I'm sure it's, you know, the light of day, it's going to go the opposite way. But, you know, kind of back to the bean comment or the bean crop comment, like we're going to have beans here in the United States. I think it's, you know, just a matter of, does South America have another dry year that really hampers their bean crop again for the third, fourth straight year, however you want to look at it. Because, you know, outside of that, South America is going to produce a monstrous soybean crop. And so we're going to have beans here. It could be followed up with additionally more global soybeans come early next spring. So the question I think you're asking me is, how long does this valley last, or how long does the marketing year low last? Is it just our harvest, or is it spill over into maybe the early part of next year? On the bean side, I don't know. I think that's a very realistic, you know, question of how long does it last. On the corn side, we need feed grains globally, and we're going to need those regardless of what Brazil produces next spring. And so I do think that, you know, the marketing year lows are going to come here at harvest and kind of continue to rise through the early part of next spring into summer, and justify maybe some of those carrying charges and or storage costs. But on the bean side, I don't know. I don't have, like, I'm concerned about how big the South American crop could be with average weather, which is what we assume at this point. So,
is there enough soy diesel production coming on at this point that demand will impact the soybean market in the same way ethanol did as it was beginning to ramp up?
So that's a great question. And it's one that I get asked quite a bit about. You know, I mean, we do market outlooks all the time. I'm out talking with farmers quite a bit, and I do a lot of presentations. The thing I've been trying to, my pitch, I guess, I don't want to say education, because people live through it. They know it. But I guess kind of some of my education points is, there's two ways to get higher prices. There's supply driven rallies where, you know, supply somewhere in the globe is cut enough that it raises prices. And then there's demand driven price rallies. The reason I'm making that distinction is, right now in soybeans, the rally that we have is supply driven. We had shortfalls around the world in especially vegetable oils. But the fact that South American took 1.2 billion bushels off their soybean crop following a year when, you know, we had troubles in the upper plains with soybeans. You know, so last year we had troubles with soybean production in the upper plains and canola in the upper plains and Canada. You know, so we didn't have a ton of soybeans in that area to put towards renewable diesel, which is where some of that, you know, where what you're talking about, the investment in the build out of renewable diesel is largely happening in the upper plains. They had a drought last year. You know, they're not in a drought this year, especially North Dakota. But we are largely in a supply driven rally at the moment. And I tell people, you know, it's critical to know that, because I do believe the demand driven rally will come, but I don't think it's going to be before this rally ends. So it could be a pretty decent roller coaster over the next 3 years to where we come down off some of these highs on soybeans, even though there's all this talk and expectation of a demand source for renewable diesel. But then once that starts kicking in and we start building that up, you know, then we could see some added, you know, price push to fill that demand source. So I guess my comment to you, and to your question, yes, I believe it's there, but we're not at the point yet where it's having a substantial impact in terms of our demand source for soybeans. it's not there currently, and the price rally we've seen is largely supply driven.
Thank you, Ben.
Thanks, Todd.
Ben Brown is an agricultural economist with University of Missouri Extension. Let's check the weather forecast on this Monday with Mark Russo. He's with Everstream Analytics. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It appears that there may be some rainfall. I did see some showers making its way through the western part of the Corn Belt earlier today. And the temperatures won't be nearly as hot. Can you tell me about conditions there and what relief they may or may not get this week?
Yeah, well, certainly, Todd, here looking ahead for this week, the western Midwest, which is really the area most in need of rain coming up, the opportunity, there's two opportunities. The first is happening here today on Monday and tonight. Second is coming up over the upcoming weekend. And at this time, these do not look like widespread major events. However, some of the areas here could still, more like pockets, could still pick up significant rains. And so of all of the areas it's in the west, it looks like southwest Iowa has the best opportunity, but it'll come down to exactly where the thunderstorms fire up both today, tonight, and then again over the upcoming weekend.
Will there be much heat in that part of the world? They've been very, very dry, and heat just exacerbates the problem.
Yeah, we're seeing easing of that heat now following the past several weeks. In fact, this week, temperatures will be basically seasonal or near normal for mid-August standards. And at this time, there's no sign of the heat returning to both the western or the eastern Midwest. All of the primary heat looks to be focused out across the Rockies, California, and even up into the Canadian prairies.
Will the eastern Corn Belt get any rainfall?
Yes, we see some rainfall opportunities here. Not as much this week. This week is still going to be on the drier side of things. It's next week, during the last week of August, where those rain opportunities look to increase across the region. And from a temperature standpoint, as mentioned before, we don't see any heat in the eastern Corn Belt basically now through the end of the month.
Worries continue about parts of Europe. Can you tell me about the dry conditions there?
Yeah, certainly. The drought continues in a big way across much of Europe, especially in the major corn-producing countries. There's some limited relief here this week in countries such as France and Italy, Bulgaria, Romania, but these rains are coming too late to make a difference for yields, although it could cause some stabilization. But it does look like dry weather returns next week, and then also continued warmer bias across much of Europe. So the same general themes look to continue here during this latter portion of the summer in Europe.
Hey, thank you much.
You're welcome, Todd.
Mark Russo is with Everstream Analytics, joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand whenever you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. Just click and play from the website there. Don't forget that tomorrow is Ag Day at the Illinois State Fairgrounds. I'll be there all day long and bring you live to the website, relatively speaking, tomorrow evening, the Governor's Sale of Champions. So check that out on the website at willag.org tomorrow night. Our theme music is written, performed, and produced by Illinois farmer Tim Gleason. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.